Good morning.
Good morning.
So, early on in Isaiah's ministry, God gave him a strange task: to dull the people's minds and stop their ears and shut their eyes so they would not turn and be healed. Isaiah wondered how long was he going to have to do that for? And the Lord told them that only after Israel was in ruins, reduced to a stump like a falling tree, would it be able to hear with joy what God would do next. Near the end of the Israel's exile, Isaiah glimpsed a future with hope.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God.
Many years after Isaiah's prophecy, Israel was living amidst the powerful nation of Rome. While many of their ruins had been repaired, they continued to suffer under a foreign power. One day, the voice of a young woman suddenly spoke words of joy and wonder after a visit from an angel. While she had many questions about the future and did not know what was going to come next, she found herself joyfully echoing Isaiah's words.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
Years after Mary had declared with wonder God's favor, the Apostle Paul spoke to the church in Thessalonica, encouraging everyone to carry on singing and praying with joy and wonder, even in the midst of their questions about the future. While he didn't mention her by name, Mary's joy and her prayers of thanksgiving were the church's model for how to live in the midst of its questions.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Can we sing Isaiah and Mary's song, while we sit in the midst of our own questions?
Our next hymn will be projected, and it will lead us through. And it's number Voices Together, number 229, Unexpected and Mysterious. A little bit new for us, but we'll be able to watch the video and sing along as you feel comfortable with the song. Hi, Zach. What are you up to?
Oh, hey, Greg. I'm just trying to write my sermon.
Write your sermon? What's it on?
Well, you remember how it's Advent right now, right? Yeah. So Advent is all about the questions we bring to this season. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I think the first Sunday's question was, how long must we wait, right?
Yep.
And last week we asked, how do we prepare while we wait?
Correct again. Great memory.
So, what's our question this week?
This week's question is, how will we know what's next?
Knowing what's next, eh?
Yeah, you know, all throughout history, in every age, God's people have been wondering, what's next? What can we expect life to look like in the future? What will God do tomorrow or the day after that?
Hey, that kind of reminds me of the end of TV show episodes. Sorry. You know, when the episode ends and it gives you a preview of what's next. Next week, tune in for the climactic conclusion. Will Jane accept Bill's proposal? Or will an old flame disrupt their budding romance?
I didn't know you were so into soap operas, Greg.
Well, that was just an example I made up.
Right. I do like the image of a preview, though. It whets your appetite, but there's still so much that you don't know about what will come next. Many questions remain. So you get together with all your friends and you discuss what might happen, and then ultimately you have to wait, sometimes until the next season, to have those questions resolved. In the meantime, the scriptwriters are busily trying to figure out what's next themselves. Or you might say that the modern preview is like foreshadowing in a stage production. At the end of an act, you may get a hint for what is to come in the next act. Ah, hey, these could be some good images for my sermon.
Really? Say more.
Well, in this image of the preview, or foreshadowing, God is the scriptwriter, and we are the persons of the drama in a play or a production that God has imagined and brought into being. While sometimes we think God has every part of the script written already, it seems more like God is also writing the script between the seasons or acts, or even in the midst of them in response to the improvisations of the characters, you know?
I'm not sure I do. Can you unpack this idea a little bit?
Well, take the scripture passages that we're looking at for this Sunday. One is from Isaiah, one from Luke, and one from 1 Thessalonians.
That's quite the spread of scriptures and spanning a lot of history, too.
Indeed. But there is a dramatic theme that connects them all.
There is?
Yes. God, the scriptwriter, is moving the story along with important actors in the drama, appearing at key plot points who all have important roles. But God isn't just sitting in the writer's chair. In fact, at many crucial parts of the drama, including one very special part, God is also on the stage, or one with the fellow actors.
So how exactly does this idea of God and a show with seasons or a play that acts that apply to Isaiah, Mary, and Paul's letter to the Thessalonians?
Let me think about this. Okay, so the text from Isaiah and Luke are like Act 1 and 2, or Season 1 and Season 2, and the text from Thessalonians is part of the third act, or third season. Isaiah was a key actor in the first season, Mary in the second season, and then Paul in the church in the third season.
Well, a lot has happened since Isaiah, Mary, and Paul. What season is God's production in now?
Well, maybe still the third season, with the church's role in the drama being a key part.
Wait, so we are in the drama today, still in the third act?
Exactly, exactly. We are in the third act or season of God's production.
Okay. So that brings us back to this week's question then, doesn't it? What's next in God's production?
Precisely.
Precisely what?
Your question. What's next? That is precisely the right question. We don't know, because it hasn't been written yet.
So the script is open to whatever might come? The future is totally undecided? But doesn't God have a plan for the rest of the production?
That's another good question, or set of questions.
I appreciate that you like my questions, but what about some answers? Don't you have any of those?
Well, Greg, it's hard to put it this bluntly, but no, I don't have many answers. But let's get back to that idea of foreshadowing or previewing the future that we started with.
Okay.
So what if we say that in every season, God gives us a preview of what's next? Isaiah previewed God's good news for Israel. Mary proclaimed the good news had come and that it would be for Israel and the Gentile nations. And Paul gave the Gentiles advice for how to live now that the good news had come and opened up a future with hope. All of these previews gave a taste of what was to come next, while also leaving a lot uncertain, a lot undecided, making us ask to this very day all kinds of questions about how things will ultimately be resolved.
Exactly. Isn't that kind of frustrating?
Maybe, but let me ask you another question. Have you ever seen one of those movie trailers or previews where the preview is so detailed and extensive that you finish watching it and you feel like you've seen the movie already?
Yes. I always wonder why movie companies would do that instead of withholding some of the mystery and the wonder of the film.
Right, exactly. We don't want to know everything because that takes away the joy and wonder of discovery. It's the same with the previews God gives us through Isaiah, Mary, and Paul.
Yeah. Listen, Zach, I take your point. But isn't there a time when you just want to know how things will turn out? Sometimes, especially in the bleak seasons or acts of the play, You really want to know things will be okay. It's all fine to talk about wonder, but in the midst of intense suffering, I don't know if wonder works for me.
That's a good point, Greg. In some situations, not knowing is excruciatingly hard. But you know, I think I'd rather live with the hard questions, even with the pain, than have someone fabricate a Hallmark ending to the script to address my desire for resolution. I guess I think Isaiah and Mary and Paul give us enough of a preview of God's goodness that we can trust that in the midst of our questions, God is with us, even if that still leaves us with an awful lot of questions along the way.
I suppose so. So, what are we supposed to learn from Isaiah and Mary and Paul to help us live through this third act?
Well, maybe we need to give ourselves permission in the midst of our questions and in the midst of our struggle and pain to discover wonder and joy as God acts and improvises along with us on the stage. Maybe we need to work on our stage awareness so that we don't miss what God, our lead protagonist, is up to. Maybe our questions can help us be even more aware of where God might show up.
Well, Zach, it sounds like you might have the makings of a sermon somewhere in your notes there.
I think so, Greg. Thanks for your questions.
You're welcome.